Right.
What?
I'll tell you one more time. Otherwise, this podcast isn't happening tonight.
What's the problem?
I can hear it from upstairs.
Because you're listening too hard.
No.
Don't listen.
Turn it down.
Thank.
It's not happening.
Really?
Well, I can turn the internet off as well.
Can you? I always connect to my phone.
Women. Pain of my life.
Ooh, watch out. The podcast destroyer may pull the plug.
Peak Services, the Varsity at book1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 272, an episode of the podcast which is hanging with the spectre of death hanging over it, because if I speak too loudly, she who must be obeyed will come into the room and switch everything off. So this could be quite a short episode of the show. Oh. I'm Adam and Katerina! Katerina! He's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Do I take it that you gentlemen are imputing that I am mentally deranged?
And Mary Lang.
We must do nothing. And by doing nothing, we do everything.
And Deborah Bartlett Sloan. No, when did that happen?
No.
Debbie Melrose has done the heinous crime of reusing one of Rhys Barton's excuses. Bearing in mind there's a few million of them in his book, her internet is down, so she can't be on the show. Yeah, a likely story. She just didn't get round to watching 12 episodes of Doctor Who.
Right.
Like we did.
Mm. And what about Andy?
Andy's at cricket. But well, you probably didn't watch him either.
I have a quote for Andy from the story.
Have you?
There's a police telephone box on the pitch.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame he couldn't be bothered to come on the show, considering the cricket connection. But nevertheless, he didn't. So, yes, the Daleks' master plan. I'm going to cheat because I haven't got the facility to fast forward through each episode of the story. So I'm going to cheat by reading them out via a internet facility, more or less. So the Doctor's TARDIS arrives on the planet Kemble. Now, we had Kemble, didn't we, a few weeks ago in the night... What was it? What was it? Nightmare in the Forest? What's that got to do with it? No, the Mission to
Mission
Impossible.
The Unknown.
Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, so we had Kemble there. In hope that the Doctor will be able to find a machine to cure Stephen's blood poisoning, which he got... at the end of the previous story.
Sounds like an infection.
Yes. Septicemia or something like that, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes. He leaves the TARDIS to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no Time Lord has gone before, leaving Stephen with the Trojan servant girl. Galilea! Having what? You mean oh?
Oh, just, yeah. It's an awful moment.
Okay. Having arrived before them, two space agents, Brett Vian.
You mean the Brigadier?
No,
that's not the Brigadier, yeah.
And the injured. Yes, it is, be quiet. Yes. And the injured Kurt Gantry are also on the planet, trying to find out what happened to their agent, Mark Corey. However, they have been waylaid by an, as of yet, unidentified enemy.
Exterminate.
Unidentified by them, but obviously we saw Mission to the Unknown and know full well it was the Daleks. They are trying to contact Earth, but their attempts to contact them are fruitless because there wasn't a market nearby, so they had to buy meat. On Earth, at the Space Security Service headquarters, Rold and Lizanne are watching the broadcast of Mavic Chen, Guardian of the Solar System.
And they just disappeared from the story after that first episode. Sorry. Just poof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back off.
That characterizes all the episodes, that they're very random.
Yes. Who is explaining to the universe that he's going to have very strange eyebrows, considering he came from Earth or even of a sort of Oriental descent, according to his name. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what in the thousand years or so.
Except that I read that that his makeup is blue, so I don't know that necessarily says he's from Earth.
Well,
does
really?
He see he's from Earth?
Well, I was he was.
An eyewitness said that his makeup is blue.
Hmm. Okay. Fair enough.
He looks so dark.
He's
to
going
us.
To the universe that he. Sorry, he explained to the universe he's going on holiday to get away from the hassle of being a space politician, but preaches a message of peace and harmony, celebrating 25 years since the last war in the universe. Eventually giving up on reaching Earth, Gantry tells Vian to go on without him, as he will slow Vian down seconds after Vian leaves. Dalek finds Gantry and kills him. I thought he exterminated him, but there you go, says it kills him. Gantry was, of course, played by Brian Cant, which is a name you have to be very careful how you say. He also used to be in Play School and Play Away when I was little, so I sort of didn't really connect him as an actor, more of as a sort of child performer. Now my page has gone up the wrong way, so I can't read the rest of it. Hang on. Oh, now I can hear a fly buzzing around in there as well, which is not going to please Deb. Oh, what's happened? Oh, right, sorry. Where did I get up to? In the undergrowth, Vian trips and breaks the transmitter, leaving him desperate, stranded, and alone. It is at this point that the TARDIS materialises directly in front of him. Vian waits in the bushes and sees the Doctor emerge from the TARDIS. Vian sneaks after the Doctor and takes the key from him at gunpoint, before knocking him out. Nasty Vian. On returning to the TARDIS, Vian demands that Katarina take him off the planet. But Katarina barely understands what's going on, much less because she's not reading the subtitles, not much because there aren't any, not much less how to work the ship. In his desperation to try to get the TARDIS working, he switches on the scanner, revealing to Stephen, who has just come to, a very irate-looking Doctor. Stephen briefly gathers his strength and knocks Vian out. The Doctor returns and places Vian in a restraining chair.
Ooh.
Then goes back outside. All right, and now my thing's stopped again. What the bloody hell's going on with this? Hang on, I'm just trying to move the page up and it's gone a bit funny.
This is a very lengthy...
Is it?
I think so.
Yes.
Oh, God. Where am I going to...
You might as well be speeding through the things and describing what you see.
So you're getting bored?
No.
Okay, well, I'll try my best. Hang on, right. I can't remember much of the early parts of the story. This seems such a long time ago.
When did you watch episode one?
About 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's about 3 weeks ago for me, too.
3 weeks ago.
All right, so Vian... sort of at this point in the story, he's sort of more or less a bit of a baddie, and they seem to be carting him around with them. But eventually, he sort of becomes an ally.
That actor would be really good in some later stories.
Anyway, to try and paraphrase as much as I can, because Mary's made me interrupt it, then it makes the synopsis of the story very difficult. They end up. The Doctor sort of disguises himself as a delegate and sneaks
Zephine.
In. I said a delegate. And sneaks in on...
Zephine.
Yeah, all right, shut up. Sneaks in on some sort of meeting.
Mister, I'm a plant, apparently.
And then he sort of... Is that the point in which he sort of manages to get his hands on the Terranium?
Yes, that's when he nicks the Terranium.
Because Zephon is supposed to be the one that's supposed to be delivering it to the Daleks, is he not?
Yes,
make your mind up.
It's Chin who's brought it to the Daleks.
So what's Zephon's role in it?
Zephon is just...
He sets it down.
Yeah.
And that's how the Doctor gets it.
Ah, anyway, so the Doctor...
I read this. He sets it down and forgets about it for a minute. Ooh, is my face blue?
That's very weird.
Oh.
Something gone funny with the sound. Keep talking.
What do you want us to say?
Oh, that's all right. It's only the sound from the speakers that's gone funny. That's weird.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Don't know why that is.
Why are you using speakers if Alpha Dev is going to...
Yeah, because at some point you're going to want to hear feedback. later on in the show. And without the speakers, that's going to be virtually impossible. Anyway, back to the story. The Doctor pretends to be Zephon and gets his hands on the training core and basically decides to leg it. It doesn't take long for the Daleks to realise, or actually Chen to realise, that he's been conned a little bit. And then we get a sort of semi-repeat of Doctor Who story containing the Daleks called The Chase, but a slightly less comedic version until the Feast of Stephen. They flit around a few planets. Stephen gradually gets a little bit better. There's a point in which there's these two vagrants on this planet. I think they've been stuck there for a while, haven't they? They're criminals because it's a prison planet.
They're criminals. It's a prison planet.
Yeah.
It's your typical planet that's named Desperon, I believe, because it's a desperate place to be.
Yeah. And we're very original with our names.
That's because of who wrote it. Terry Nation tended to do that.
Yeah, he only wrote the earlier episodes, didn't he? During their time on the planet, one of the prisoners, I think there were a couple of them, die on their way, and one of them's left over and ends up sort of holding them hostage in a way. And at some point, they both hurt the. He tries to take Katerina prisoner, doesn't he? And Katerina and he get stuck in the airlock. She locks them in. And the only way out of the situation, because Katerina's so devoted to saving the Doctor, who she sees as a god, she sacrifices herself to save the Doctor, basically. Wasn't bothered about
Stephen. Which brings up a very interesting point, where it's Katerina, who doesn't know what anything is, doesn't even know what tablets are, somehow knows what the switch in the airlock is going to do.
Well, she's a human being. She would have seen that switch being operated.
I don't think she deliberately did that. I think she was accidentally hit it.
Yeah, that's my thing. Everybody thinks, that she sacrificed herself. But I think it's an accident too.
Okay, if you like. So I'd like to think she sacrificed herself. Because I'm an old romantic, you see. But anyway, Stephen says something like, Katerina! Katerina!
It's a horrible moment.
That's horrible. This is supposed to be a children's show.
I know.
Now, in the reconstruction, they show the two bodies floating off into space.
Do you suppose
that really happened in the broadcast?
It was very nicely done. Very nicely done. I like that.
Well, there is a quiet moment there where it likely happened. And I think in the reconstruction, they probably had the scripts.
Yeah, could have done. But it was good. It was very well done. I think they got over it very quickly, didn't they? Although there was a reference to it in the last episode, which was beautiful. Anyway, moving on. So that's the end of Katerina. And
they're distracted by what they're...
Katerina!
And very quickly, Chen decides to... because he knows Vian's sort of an agent. He decides to kill all the agents apart from one, which is obviously Sarah Kingdom, who he sends on a mission. She very quickly infiltrates the situation and gets into an argument with Brett, and tries to force him to give her the Terranium, I believe, and he says no, so she kills him.
And she always hated her brother.
Apparently so. And then she ends up in the crew, and very quickly, I don't know if Nicholas Courtney's contract had run out, but she basically took over the role of Nicholas Courtney in the story. So I wonder if the original draft was that Brett would be the one all the way through and he would be the one at the end.
That was one of the things about this story that really just drove me crazy, is how random things like that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This story
could have been told in 4 episodes.
I just think they couldn't keep Nicholas Courtney on for longer, more than the amount of episodes he did. So that's why they drafted in Jean Marsh to continue the part. But anyway,
he had to find an open spot in his contract for 2 years.
All
from
right,
now.
Kirby, banging that one over the head with a hammer.
Yes.
But anyway, so
Because the Brigadier is such a wonderful character.
So begins the chase, and they end up flitting around the place.
Wait, we did the chase already.
Shut up. And they end up in 60s Britain. I don't know whether it was London or not, and because it was all Northern accents.
No. Wait, yeah, it was Northern accents.
Aren't Doctor and Stephen like transported to another planet
Masta?
First?
Masta?
I don't think so. Masta. I thought it was Earth. Yes, yes, yes.
I've never seen Zedkars. Mm. Where is Zedkars set? What is the setting? Is it northern?
It's up north. It's north, up north.
Because the idea behind that episode was that they were really going to do a crossover with Zedkars. They had things set up for Zedkars actors to be all those characters, and something fell through at the last minute.
Ah.
And they were going to use the Zedkars sets. Mm-hmm. They were going to do. It was all going to be Zedkars, and
okay.
They just something happened.
Oh well, there you go then. But yeah, Zedkars. That's when Brian Blessed, he played a northerner in Zedkars before he had a beard. Moving on back to this story, so yeah, that was the episode Feast of Stephen, of course, which is a very famous episode, which everybody wishes they could see. But it's seeing what they've done with the reconstruction to sort of give some sort of idea of what it was like. Obviously, you mentioned the cricket. There was a sort of film set sequence, which was
well, the cricket part was in the next episode.
Oh yes, of course it was. Yes, sorry, I keep thinking.
Yeah,
it was in the New Year's
yeah, Day.
Of course,
episode.
It was. What a silly man I am. But yes, but that there was film sets, police thing, and then that right course at the end. It wasn't really part of the story, but at the end of it, the doctor did his and Merry Christmas to all of you at home.
Happy Christmas.
All right, how pedantic can you get? And like you say, next episode, they landed on a cricket pitch. Again, that was a bit superfluous to the storyline. And eventually, we actually get back on plot. And
we get back to our first recurring character.
Which is?
The Meddling Monk.
Good. Well, I'm glad you were.
This episode could have been a continuation of the Feast of Stephen because, again, we come up, there's so many random and funny things going on in it.
Yeah.
Of course, amongst TARDIS is a iceberg, if I remember rightly, at the beginning of the story. And the Doctor appears.
I think the reason why it's not quite as random as the Christmas story, but I think it was random because it was New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so people would not necessarily be pay much attention.
Okay. I suppose you're right, in a way. But nevertheless, the monk returned, and the doctor nicked something out of his TARDIS. And then they end up in Egypt, and the monk is sort of like, don't know which side he's on. Yes.
First, the monk disables the lock on the TARDIS.
Yes.
Yes.
But not very successfully.
Right.
Master, how do you get into a TARDIS which is the shape of a motorcycle?
Well, he's already in it when he does it. He doesn't try to get in.
Yeah, but that would be, it would just be disguised as a motorcycle. Surely when you want to get into it, there would be some sort of way of changing it back into something that you can get into.
But what if it gets stuck as a motorcycle? If it gets stuck as a...
Then I suspect you're probably a bit, you know.
You probably have to crawl out of the gas tank.
I got wind. Pardon me. So what are we on about? Yeah, so you really set me off on one side. I've lost where I was with the plot now. So they're in Egypt, and the doctor and the monk shut up. The doctor and the monk are having a bit of a sort of get one over on each other competition. In the end, the doctor, like I say, he does interfere with the monk's TARDIS, and I love the way the monk commentates on everything, doesn't he? When he says, oh, he's done something. The doctor. And he just sort of talks to himself and commentates on everything. He did that in the Time Meddler as well, but it's quite good fun. I like it. And of course, the Doctor wears the hat, which made him look really cool.
He had his jacket all buttoned up. Yeah. He looked very spiffy.
He did, and then he sort of does the handing over the Terranium bit, and shouting over these instructions and stuff like that. Now that
one of those two episodes, either Golden Death or Escape Switch, I don't remember which one, it sounded almost as if Hartnell was sick. He sounded like
his voice had gone. Yeah, that's right.
Was very affected by something. Yeah,
indeed. I forgot about that. Well done.
He barely said anything in the entire episode, too.
Yeah, but that's very good. Well done, Kirby.
But then you'll notice he's mostly absent during the next two, so maybe he was sick.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, of course he was, yeah. Although he was on holiday. But anyway, yeah, see, at this point he does that, because there's a point in which he hands over the fake core. Is this the point? Yeah, this is the fake core, isn't it? So he hands over the core that has been made by Stephen, more or less. And then they get away, and Mavic Chen upsets the Daleks by bringing them the fake core. But amazingly, they don't exterminate him, because obviously he's got a longer contract than anyone else in this particular story.
I do not understand why the Daleks are cooperating with anyone. They do not cooperate with people.
They're
very cunning. I think they do to their own ends, because they are planning on blowing up the whole council and getting rid of everybody. So I think that this is just a means to an end.
Okay.
There you go. So,
Mary is correct once again.
Yeah, of course she's correct. So anyway, the Daleks then go chasing after, and Chen actually go chasing after them again, and eventually he's forced to actually give the real core to Chen, and but then he manages...
And run very quickly.
Yeah, this is when he disappears. So you don't know where he is. So it's Stephen and Sarah sort of go on the runabout, trying to run away from Daleks and Chen and that. And they get imprisoned.
Before you talk about that, I find it interesting that before they discover that the Turanium they have is fake, they so impassively have that guy, that one representative in that other room, being exposed.
Oh, you know, pointy teeth? Like, oh, yeah, pointy teeth.
Yeah, la, 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 let's see what happens. And he...
You know, the only alien I found most annoying was the one with the half tennis ball stuck to his body.
That hisses.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was very irritating.
Yeah.
And I noticed they weren't a lot of.
I could answer all my questions.
Like
that.
But I noticed there weren't any actual pictures of him from the story. They were reconstructed images that they'd made. It'd be interesting to see what he actually looked like. Anyway, back to the story. So, Stephen and Sarah are sort of caught in trying to push things through on their own. And then the Doctor turns up randomly at the end of the story to more or less save the day by taking the actual time destructor. Yeah. And then everything goes a bit dramatic and sad in some ways as they try to get back to TARDIS. Reminded me a little bit of Caves of Androzani, actually. Yeah. And I think they actually used the current picture of Gene Marsh to make it look old, which is quite interesting. And then, because it really did look like an old Gene Marsh, and I don't think they could have done that in those days. And, and then the Doctor there gets sort of saved a bit by Stephen, who gets told off also for getting out of the TARDIS when he should have been waiting inside. But he does save the Doctor's life. And what got me about this particular story is obviously the Doctor was affected by the time destructor, and it aged him. And from this point onwards, we see the decline of the First Doctor. And I find that very interesting as far as a Doctor Who thing goes, because even though obviously William Hartnell's health was deteriorating, if they thought of putting this to account for that, it was very, very clever. Because over the next few stories, the Doctor is not what he was before, and he does struggle, and he is tired, and it's very, very, especially, you know, we haven't come to there yet, but Stephen's last story, there's even more of that happening to him, and all this stuff that depletes his life force and stuff like that, fascinating stuff, and it's a thing that makes, one of the things that makes me love Doctor Who, because you can see things in it that you may not have seen at a time.
And watching them like we are progressively, we see that. Yeah. Mm. Whereas when you're jumping around, it's like, oh, he's older here. Oh, he's younger here. Mm. And you don't connect.
But then as you also think of what happened to Matt Smith's Doctor, how much more he lived before he became old. And, you know, you think of the Hartnell Doctor and how the Time Destructor would have affected his incarnation. And then further on in the story went with Stephen. in his star, I can't remember what his star story was called, but there's more of his life force depleted in the last few stories. So yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, we only have 6 stories left before the end of the First Doctor.
Indeed. Hmm. So anyway, but Dalek Master Plan, it's a bit of a sort of going in all sorts of different directions. Eventually, it's like getting a rubbish sat nav. You know, you get the motorway journey to London from Southampton, but the sat nav takes you down all the back roads. But eventually, you get there, but it might take a long time. This is what this story is like. I will say though, for that, the deviations are quite good fun. And I actually quite enjoyed that, and I thought actually it built up to the big finale quite well, and I found the last episode absolutely riveting and thoroughly enjoyable, and it was just those funny bits, very dramatic bits, very violent bits, but all in all I really really enjoyed it, and it's the first time I've actually been able to see it like this. Obviously I have listened to the audio and watch the missing episodes, but to actually watch this through as a story like this, and it's totally different to any other Doctor Who story, really. And I know it's probably not everybody's cup of tea, and it was difficult to watch, but I'm glad yes. I did it. I'm glad I did it because it was fascinating. I just found it fascinating. I know you lot are going to disagree with me, but hey ho, Kirby.
Why would I disagree with you? I completely agree with you because. First of all, I do want to thank you for leading us down the road of watching, experiencing all these stories. I'm absolutely fascinated to go through all these stories this way. And this was just, it was all over the place. I was frustrated by it at times, riveted other times. That last episode was fantastic. I wish we had a real copy of it.
Yeah.
I want to see the end of Sarah and what exactly they did.
I think they reconstructed it very well.
Yeah. But the silly stuff was silly, but and the entire silent movie thing just what?
It was Christmas.
Yes,
but let's do something fun.
this was overall really good. There were times that I fell asleep watching. I had to back up like 5-10 minutes because I'm going, I fell asleep again. But it really, they should have broken this apart into more distinct stories. They were distinct stories, I guess. Running all over the place. It wasn't as good as The Chase. Remember, I changed my mind on The Chase.
I did. Saying that, it just made me remember. I forgot something. Hartnell was absolutely brilliant in
yes.
the episodes he was in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's rapidly becoming one of my favorite doctors. And before we started going through this, he was my least favorite doctor. And now I'm really understanding why the show is still around today. It would not be around today if he weren't a good doctor.
Hmm.
So that's my say.
There you go. Go on then, Mary. Give it to me gently. That's what she said.
Most of what I would say would echo what Kirby said. And I want to say, too, that although we look at this as 12 episodes of one story. Oh, excuse me.
Great timing. Is that Debbie coming on to say, sorry, my internet's still not working.
Somebody's texting me.
Not me.
Although we look at it, you know, as one unit, you have to go back to the people at the time watching this. These were just more episodes of an ongoing story that was on every Saturday. So for them, there's not, you know, oh, this is a long story. It was just one more episode every week. So, you know, they probably didn't think anything of it, you know, going on and on like it did. And as Kirby said, you know, yeah, it's all over the place. And there was a lot of time, what I would consider time wasters in here, where you could reduce this down, you know, to many fewer episodes. And I've totally changed my mind. If there could be a total discovery of a whole story in, you know, in live action, this would be the story I would ask for. because the few live stories we did, the episodes that we do see, are so well acted and so interestingly directed that.
Yeah, that's very true. Actually, there were some points that, you know, wow, that was good. Yeah, very,
very
good.
Unusual direction in this, and I love. There was a scene where there were like three people talking all at the same time, but it didn't matter because it was getting a lot of information through to me, you know, while the main story was moved along, and I really found that interesting. So anyway, so because of its very interesting direction and the brilliant acting, you're right, Hartnell is amazing through this, although this is also when he was his most unhappy because of the brutal deaths and all that he felt Doctor Who was going down the wrong path. And with Kevin Stoney, brilliant as Mavic Chen. And of course, is it Butterfield?
Yeah.
He's so enjoyable as the monk. And I think even
Butterworth, I think that Peter Butterworth. Sorry, just to correct you there. Otherwise, everybody will write in and complain about that being that they're Doctor Who fans. But yes, Peter Butterworth. Okay.
Jean Marsh as Sarah Kingdom was amazing. And I think even Nicholas Courtney in the short time he was on there was really, really good. And I think even Peter Purvis was like hitting his stride.
Oh, he's great. I think they're all great. I think Peter Purvis is a really good actor, actually.
So for all of that, I would prefer to have this whole thing restored than even Marco Polo. That's my thinking. Oh, did you see the interview with Jean Marsh?
No, I meant to watch that. I never got around to it.
She was even asked, you know, if you were able to continue on as a Doctor Who companion, would you? And she was immediate. She was like, oh, no, I wouldn't want to do that. You could tell she's a real free spirit. She says, no, I want to go on to this project and that project, you know, but when you do a series, oh, you are just too tied down. You're 8 to 6 or 8 to whenever, you know, every day. And that's too hard. No, I couldn't do that. So I have a feeling they killed her off at the end because she had no interest in going on.
Well, there you go. Excellent. Yeah. So that was the Dalek Master Plan, everyone. Everybody, we won't know what Debbie thought of it, unfortunately, maybe next time. But there was a predecessor to this story. It was called The Mythmakers. And I seem to remember Kirby wasn't available for that particular episode. What did you think of Mythmakers, Kirby?
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thank you. Right then.
Wait a second. Let me go to my Gmail.
Your Gmail? What have you sent yourself an email?
I sent myself, yes.
Oh, my God.
Of course. Mythmakers notes. Here we go. That I sent to myself on July 15th. I enjoyed it thoroughly, but also I have to say this. Yes, I know all those dreary flights of birds and entrails and all that kind of thing. There's my quote.
Oh, is that right? Okay, thank you. Yes. Is that it?
Yes.
All right.
And I made a note. I don't know. I put this on the Facebook page the other day, but there's an official Doctor Who YouTube video put out by the fans, although obviously they pay this young girl to do this stuff, and she has writers and stuff. It's called The Fan Show. But they went inside the most recent episode, they went inside the TARDIS set, and they were looking around, and there's a little Trojan horse on one shelf.
Ooh.
Which is kind of cool.
Yes. Oh, is that it?
Probably yes. Completely accidental, but someone like you would put a great deal of significance into it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's quite deliberate.
Yeah. Anyway, last week, everybody, if you weren't listening to the show, Kirby was at Con Custerberus. And what happened after you left us? And furthermore, just sort of recap a little bit about the weekend or maybe some bits you haven't already told us, because I haven't seen any pictures of you and Paul McGann and you and Eric Roberts yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where are the pictures?
I never met either of them.
What? I didn't notice the Kirby impression there.
I couldn't afford the... first of all, I wasn't a VIP, so I didn't go the Friday. And I could not afford to get a picture or an autograph.
But weren't they sitting at tables in that... Rim
but you had to basically have a ticket to get in there for an autograph or a picture.
Unlike last year when Sylvester McCoy, we were just sitting out in the hall
They moved all of that to a new area.
Oh, okay.
And basically the access to the room was restricted, and there were guards who basically wouldn't even let you look inside the room.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
We're going upscale here.
And that's why I was hoping that Matthew could have arranged something so I could meet one or both of them.
Yeah.
Huh. And I was disappointed, but I don't have that big a budget for grabbing autographs of.
Well, some people wrote on the Conca Sturberis Facebook page, you know, the random encounters in the hallways, at least with Paul McGann, but you never even had that, huh?
I never even saw him in the hallways.
Okay.
I didn't see him or Eric Roberts in the hall. Oops, there's an echo.
Oh, dear, never mind. I meant nobody, and never mind about you not seeing the people that I would expect you to see. And I feel you should be telling off Matthew for not making some sort of special arrangement for you.
It doesn't bother me.
Okay. That's a shame, though, isn't it, Mary?
Yes. You did get to see them being interviewed on stage, though.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
It's funny you should say that, because obviously...
And Matthew was a great interviewer.
Yeah, Matthew's great, full stop.
Matthew, there was a wonderful point where he was interviewing Paul McGann, and Paul McGann was making fun of Matthew for being so pedantic. It was hilarious.
Was he as well-informed interviewing Eric Roberts as he was Paul McGann?
I had something else going on during the Eric Roberts one. I haven't seen the video yet, so I don't know.
Okay.
I was going to say,
Jason did take video, but I haven't had a chance to watch.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it yet either.
So, yes, it was a bit of a shame that we didn't get them onto the show, but I thought, listening back, it was a great episode of the podcast, so it didn't matter in the long run, because we had some great people on.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and we had Kirby on as well.
I am nothing.
Yeah, it was nice to hear from the individuals that were in the room that were telling us their stories. I like that.
Did you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And also, there's been an announcement for the guests so far for next year, hasn't there, Kirby?
Yes, they will have our friend of the show, Andrew Cartmell.
He's more than a friend of the show.
Yes, and we're going to have Caitlin. Oh, what's her name?
Blackwood.
Yes,
Blackwood.
But you've met her.
Yeah, she's for the 7 seconds she was on the show.
She might be on for longer next time, eh?
Yes.
Yes. That was quite exciting. Will there be more guests announced later, or is that it?
That I'm sure they will have more guests announced later.
Oh, yeah, they have. People in the works, but they can't.
Yes.
On the Conji T side, I also know of who we're trying to get, but I cannot. I'm not at liberty to.
Is it a doctor? Because you said who? Is that some sort of strange? Or is it Roger Daltrey or Pete Townsend? Maybe. No, obviously not. But
well,
yeah.
one of the people that we tried to get that we could, unfortunately, he was busy. We were working on getting Colin. For ConGT, but he is not available during the ConGT time.
No, he would have been great. I've met Colin a couple of times. He would have been great, but maybe one day, you never know. But like I said, it's a great honour to be the official podcast of Conca Sturberis and ConGT, and it's always great fun doing the link-ups. I'm really looking forward to the ConGT one now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And are you going to that one, Mary?
I'm going to try.
Good.
Is that all? Come on, you only live around the corner.
You know,
really.
Things always depend on, you know, budgets and, you know, whether I can get the time off and all that good
it's
stuff.
It's easier for you to get to than it is for me, because you'd obviously, being in the same country, it's only just around the corner. So, anyway, let's move on. We've got some feedback.
Captain!
Hello, Gentlemen Mac Podcast, this is Ian Kirk. In The Lord of the Rings, Frodo promised to destroy the ring by throwing it into the flames of Mount Doom. In the classic Doctor Who era, TV broadcasters, who had purchased copies of episodes, had to make a similar promise to destroy them after they had been broadcast. There is a man who is going around trying to save them.
We want it. We need it. Must have the precious.
Today, Sunday, is Eve Miles' birthday.
Last Sunday.
The Daleks Master Plan by Terry Nation and Dennis Spooner. 8 episodes of this story have been lost forever. Unless you listen to rumours. Never revealed that Kingdom is a woman. I did not know that sort of thing was from so long ago. Kingdom kills Nicholas Courtney. The Doctor seems to recognise the man in the raincoat from the marketplace at Jaffa because it is the same actor. But his disappearing grain house is not significant. I thought it might be.
That was weird.
This story even has a cricket match. The meddling monk is back. I wonder why he's still wearing his monk disguise. Force of habit, I suppose.
Oh.
And a Merry Christmas to all of you at home. If you are listening to this at Christmas, up and out.
Yes, thank you, Ian, and the co-founder of the show. Co-founder of the show, I was going to ask you a question. Don't go through yet, I was going to ask you a question. Are you, do you want to catch your breath first?
No, I'm sweating.
No, I was going to ask you a question, because it came to me that I think you're the only person I know that started off absolutely loving Doctor Who and now absolutely hates it.
Yeah.
Because when we started the podcast... it was during the beginning of the Matt Smith era. Up to that point, you used to nick every single one of my Doctor Who DVDs. In fact, I had a spindle, listeners, of ones I'd recorded off the telly. Alicia nicked them, used them as drink coasters, and now they do not play anymore. But she did play them over and over again. But things have changed. Because you, I thought... It's Stephen Moffat, is it?
And the new Doctor as well.
Yeah, so that means we've got to get the bleeping tool out, but you don't have to swear, thank you very much.
He's crap.
That's better.
He's mean and boring and horrible. I do not enjoy any of it
myself. But Stephen Moffat was the producer when we started the podcast.
Yeah, and I started hating it then.
Well, that was like 2 years.
But I like the old ones, like David Tennant and all that.
You don't, though, because you said you don't
like... I do, that's the ones I watch with my brother.
When?
On my days off. I wonder if
there's
a better
watch for it.
That's
what you
watch,
but
I don't
like
any of people.
Yeah, well, stop flapping your ears.
Does Alicia remember sitting through the Dalek Master Plan?
No. No, because we only watched the episodes that existed.
Okay.
She's really hot. She's been working in a chip shop kitchen for how many hours?
10 hours.
It's almost as long as it takes to watch Dalek Master Plan.
Well, good for her.
Anyway.
I'm going to go try and get some sleep because I've worked again.
Right. You got college?
Wednesday.
Do you see that letter?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Bye.
That was the co-founder of the show with an input into the very unusual...
very helpful input. Yeah,
the very unusual condition of falling out of love with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah, how is that possible? Although I have to tell you a strange thing with my youngest daughter. She is a big Doctor Who fan for 9, 10, and 11, but she refuses to watch 12.
Oh, there you go. Magic from that comment just fell over onto his side and passed out from what you just said. Just flopped.
Nothing I can do can get her to watch.
Well, nothing I can do to get Alicia to watch.
She begin to watch him and decide she did not like him?
No, she does not want to even... She doesn't want to lose Matt Smith, therefore...
She doesn't want to live in a world where Matt Smith is not the Doctor.
The only episodes that Alicia watches are the Christmas specials, because we happen to be all watching it together on Christmas Day. And then she's going, who's that? What's that? Why is that?
So, yeah.
There you go. We have more feedback.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabyte. It's Andy Lynn here. It's 5:20 on Saturday evening, sitting with a glass of Pinot Noir. Oh, why not? Actually, it's Pinot Grigio, not Pinot Noir, so that's me leading the wrong turf. First drink of the day, to be honest, as well. Right, just the Daleks' Master Plan. Now, Daleks' Master Plan, as everybody knows, is the longest single Doctor Who story in history. Right, Kirby has now just said, oh, what about the Trial of a Time Lord? Well, actually, no Trial of a Time Lord. It's not one complete story, is it? It's actually four stories linked together. They were written as four separate stories. It wasn't written as one story. If you were to count Trial of the Time Lord as one story, I think you should count the entire Key to Time series as one complete story, because they are separate stories, but they are all linked together. So that's why I think Trial of the Time Lord doesn't count. Daleks' Master Plan, one complete story. Now, we see here, I mean, in a way, you've got a whole season in one fell swoop, because the characters go through so much. You know, we see things like, we see the death first time of a companion, probably the shortest-lived companion ever, unless perhaps you count Adam from Yoo-hoo.
Don't try and bloody
involve me in this. You also see the characters going through many, many different emotions, many different experiences. You know, the point where they lose the TARDIS, they regain the TARDIS, they go off on a totally different ship. And it's the way they interact with the other, the aliens, with Mavic Chen, with the rather interesting different aliens. I must admit that for 50-year-old... special effects and designs and things like that. I mean, some of those aliens were rather good, you know, for their time. I think you have to see them in context. I'm doing hand gestures, which is obviously no use whatsoever. But, you know, obviously didn't have CGI, so they had to make it what they were. And, you know, if we watch that through 50-year-old eyes, obviously, as I am now, it doesn't look that good. But you think about what it was at the time, I think it was very, very good. You obviously had the stand... In a way, you've got two standalone episodes in this series, because you've got the could you call it a pilot episode? You know, the...
Mission to the Unknown.
Mission to the Unknown.
Thank you.
Because that, you know, set it all up. And, of course, you've got the Feast of Stephen. So, again, I think to count... I think you can count those as two standalone episodes. Because they're single, one-off, 25-minute stories in themselves. You know, apparently when the Master Plan was sold abroad, the Feast of Stephen was taken out of it. And it still stands up by itself. And, in fact, you could say the Feast of Stephen stands up as a story in its own right, as does Mission to the Unknown. And then, of course, you see the Doctor breaking the fourth wall, which... So the first time it's ever been done. Now, could you say that has happened again? That's an interesting thought, that is. There's a couple of stories where you could say that, you know, these reached out and caught you through the television. So, is that the first... Is that the only time? Debatable. You also see the first time recurring character with the meddling monk coming back, don't you? So, what's his motivation again? It's interesting, because when you saw him first time, he really just was out there to interfere. What's he trying to do second time around? I mean, clearly he wants revenge from the Doctor for what he did to him, the way he dumped him there, but, you know, he's allying himself to really the most evil force in the universe and a coalition that really can only bring destruction and despair. Why is he doing it? You know, why would... You know, he must know what he's letting him... You know, himself, you know, because he's not going to come out well out of that, is he? You know, they're not going to think, oh, you know, he helped us, we'll let him go on his merry way. I very much doubt that. I think, you know, maybe he might be for the chop. So, I think that's... Not really sure why that was done. Now, also, of course, Brett Vine, we see the first appearance of... I was going to say Brigadier. Of course, not the Brigadier. It's Nick Courtney, you know, in another role. So, the first time we actually see someone who then comes back as somebody else... But again, what you're seeing here again is the destruction of a character when Sarah Kingdom kills him. And in a way, that's because you don't realise he's her brother. It's, again, the motivation behind that, you know, she had to do it for the good of the service. But actually, that's quite a pretty bloodthirsty thing to do in, you know, what is, I suppose, was then more viewed as a children's TV series. To see fratricide in, you know, in that context is actually quite frightening, isn't it? And then, of course, the death of Sarah. I mean, that's quite a gruesome way of doing it, you know, aging somebody to death. You know, it's not pretty. The whole, you know, it's... I believe that, again, when this story sold abroad, I think that some of that was cut out, and you can understand why. So I think, would you film it that way were you to remake the Dalek Master Plan now? I don't think you would. I think you would soften it. You would make it less harsh. So, I think that's... In a way, that's why this story is groundbreaking for many reasons, and that really is... That's one of them as well. Because, you know, it's a very bloodthirsty story. You know, how many deaths have you seen in this story? Is it the biggest headcount ever? quite possibly yes. And for, again, as I go back to it, you know, probably was regarded then as a children's programme. This being broadcast at, what, 5:25? You could possibly get away with it at 7 o'clock, you're being sort of family viewing. Even then, I really think you're stretching the point here. But I suppose what you get at the end is, with the Doctor, I guess he's mourning the deaths, but he really sees, they were pointless deaths, weren't they? I mean, certainly Brett's with Jason was pointless, Sarah's death was Katrina's death. You know, she gave up actually she went to a better place, because she still believed in, you know, the golden age, but, you know, she believed she was in the afterlife. So for her, in a way, it didn't matter. You know, she wasn't dying because she was already dead, which is an interesting concept. But it's the loss of life, you know, it really hit the Doctor, and I think it hit Stephen very, very hard. And, you know, possibly why, you know, Stephen chose to leave fairly shortly afterwards, because, you know, he had the opportunity perhaps almost to make amends for what he'd just done. So all in all, I say this is a groundbreaking story. There's a lot we saw for the first time. There's a lot we've never seen again, and we never will see again. Very well written by Terry Nation. Very well put together. Very well filmed for the time it was filmed in. So, I mean, I know you talked last. We talked last week when I didn't fall asleep, because Dawn did say so. About which story we'd like to see come back. Now, this is one I would like to see come back. Obviously, we've got the three episodes. The reconstructions. Thank you, Robbie, by the way, for sending me those links over. They really were appreciated. Robbie Lansdowne, thank you. I've raised my glass to you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. They were good, but great to actually be able to see this in real life. And I think really to appreciate it, you'd have to watch it in real time, though. We watched it in compressed format, you know, ramming all the episodes together. You don't get the full understanding of it because you haven't got the way the cliffhangers leave you standing, waiting to see what comes next, because there are quite a few twists and turns in this story. So overall, really, really good story. So, hopefully, be seeing you. Bye.
Yes, thank you very much, Andy. And I'm sorry about that. It dropped out because my audio player appears to have a setting on that makes it go to sleep at some point. So that's going to make the quiz a bit awkward.
I see.
But in some ways, that's quite apt.
Uh-huh. Blame it on the equipment. Uh-huh.
Now, I think Andy's having had an effect on it.
Yes.
Alan
just
Butcher.
Just don't give it any wine.
No, but the nearly right honourable Alan Butcher says,
yes.
The Daleks Master Plan is another of those stories I came to via Target in the second golden age of the adaptations as they neared the completion of the series. The two volumes that covered this story were amongst my favourites, as it was such compelling read and an epic tale. Memorably, the books incorporated reference to Dalek history, like Mavellans, not intended until long after the original TV show. I had already read The Chase, which was done well in the same style as a fair basic storyline. Unlike that story, The Daleks' Master Plan holds up well in what now remains of the original production. The narrated original soundtrack works well, because the pace of the story is largely relentless and the existing episodes are perhaps not the three we might have chosen, but still serve to provide a window to the original. Mm-hmm. I am sure you have covered Kevin Stoney's standout performance as Mavic Chen. He always gave great villain and the megalomaniacal character.
Megalomaniacal,
never mind. I think you know what I'm saying, is so creditable that it is possible to believe he has the audacity to try to use the Daleks. This is the heyday of the original phase of Dalek stories. It's a real adventure. The Daleks have a big plan, and they are using all their abilities, force, ingenuity, political manipulation, and ruthlessness. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher. So, brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Kevin Stoney's performance is so good that I do completely buy his character's descent into madness. Because
yeah,
you
gradually get mad
along the way. So when he, you know, totally goes there, yeah, I believe it.
Thank you, Mary. Right, I'm going to have a fiddle with my equipment.
Right, so just talk amongst yourselves while I try and work out why this is being awkward.
Well, I have a couple questions.
Why don't you have a violin with it instead of a fiddle?
What?
Kirby?
I don't know. It's really weird. It keeps switching itself off, and I can't be having that. I'll have to keep getting up to actually switch it back on again, which is, like I say, it does rather impact on the production of this particularly long-running Doctor Who podcast.
Fiddling. Kirby, when is ConGT now that we brought...
Let me see if I can find it.
And yeah, where?
You don't know where it is? What else? Go get a sat-nav.
As far as I know, it's going to be in the same hotel.
Oh, okay, because you told me that he was thinking of moving it.
He's investigated other places, but as far as I know, it's in the same hotel.
Okay.
I don't know if they've... Let me see if I can find some information.
While you're doing that, I'm going to try and find my bell. My bell's disappeared.
Oh, no. Are you actually going to have us try to...
answer questions from 3 weeks back?
This is ridiculous. My bell.
So we're going to be missing...
My bell, yes.
Missing questions right, left, and center.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably don't need the bell.
I don't care, because it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Yeah, that's right, we won't.
I wonder where that's gone. I might have to ask Isabella that question. Where's my bell? Right.
So what are you going to do instead of a bell?
Your Disney Paris bell?
Okay, I'll have one of these. So, and that's not a point, by the way, Kirby.
Sounds
before
like
you...
a bell to me.
This first question goes to Mary. Ready?
They better be easy.
Well, I'm going to fire through these because there's 56 of them. So here we go.
Oh, no!
At least it's an even number. Right, Mary... What was Brett's radio code?
Radio code? Oh, my gosh.
So believe it or not, that's an easy one.
Is that 570 to Charlie?
Oh, so close.
Give it to her. Pardon?
Give it to her. I mean...
No, that's not close enough.
It's 50 alpha, but that's...
Yeah, which is the answer. What Mary said wasn't the answer.
Yeah, but I could tell she was going in the right direction. It's
right direction is not... You can go in the right direction towards Southampton and end up in Portsmouth. It's the wrong answer. Right. Kirby.
The roughly marginal answer doesn't make it then.
Exactly.
Master.
Who is going... I can't believe a pedant could actually say that was nearly right. That's ridiculous.
I could tell what she was trying to say.
Well, a lot of people can be trying to say something to a pedant, and they're still going to be corrected.
It depends on when you've got only two competitors. I think things can be a little looser than when you've got four or five.
The answer, Kirby, to the question, "Who am I going to see in London in November?" It is Peter Capaldi. So he's resisting the temptation. Peter Capaldi, I'm going to see.
Did you give me a question yet?
No, I'm just telling you to prove my point. I'm going to see Peter Capaldi at the Doctor Who Festival in November.
That's strange because I thought we were going to go see Peter Capaldi.
There we go. That rather makes my point. I was right, wasn't I? Thank you. Lucky you didn't have a point deducted. Right, your question is, or first question is, who is getting away on holiday? Sorry, who is going away on holiday?
Oh,
and don't
gosh,
say Mavic Chen because that's not the answer.
Chen.
That's not the answer. Who is going away on holiday? Because this stage we didn't know is Mavic Chen. So who is going away on holiday?
It isn't?
We didn't know who was called Mavic Chen. They called him by his title. So the question should therefore be, what was his title?
Oh my gosh.
Guardian of the Solar System.
Get there in the end, don't we? Even if the computer doesn't want to play the ding.
He said he was guardian of the solar system practically three times an episode every time he was in it.
Sometimes he was called the guardian of the galaxy.
Mary.
Oh, you mean for God's sake. I've
got 56 questions to get through. Mary.
Yes.
Right. I should change the title of the quiz to I don't think you're going to get this one. What year? What year? Shut up. What year was the non-aggression pact signed?
Oh, that one I do have. 3975.
Oh, I got that one wrong then, and it's because you got it right. Mike, yeah, Kirby.
Master.
What did Brett initially want from the doctor?
The key?
The key.
I don't know.
Was the keys a Marinus? I mean...
I don't know.
Mary, what did...
Key to the TARDIS?
Is correct.
Wait! That's, you knew what I meant.
The key. That's a near enough answer.
Yes, the it was key. Near enough.
What could have been a key to anything?
Kirby, he's being brutal with us on purpose, you know.
No, it was wasn't quite the right answer. Mary got it spot on. Well done,
what
Mary.
What else in there has a lock? That requires a key. You knew what I
lots
meant.
Lots of things. Well, you should have been more accurate and said the key to the TARDIS, which
well,
is what Mary
said.
Well,
first of all, I wasn't sure if I was correct.
Well, that's not good enough. Right. Therefore, this is Mary's question. What was Brett's first mistake, according to the Doctor? Won't get this one.
Mistake?
Mm.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Okay, then give it to Kirby, because I don't know.
Go on then, Kirby.
He left the key to the TARDIS in the door.
Yeah, oh. Precisely the right answer, Kirby. Well done. Right, this is your question.
Master.
Who was Zephon master of? Or what
the
was Zephon?
The something galaxy. Or
the something maybe. Galaxy.
I don't remember.
Okay. Go on in, Mary.
Master of the Fifth Galaxy.
Is the correct answer. Mary.
Yes.
What did Brett call the Doctor, resulting in the Doctor saying, rubbish, I'm only doing what has to be done?
Ooh. I don't know.
Kirby?
That he's brave.
I'll give you that one. A brave man, but that's near enough on that occasion. Right. A brave man. Yes, right. So, Kirby.
Now, Master, one thing I suspect is as we go through and get past the first couple of episodes, the middle episodes I will do much worse at because I was paying less attention to them and falling asleep in the last episode.
Excuses.
Absolutely. Yes, go ahead.
All right, whatever. Who did the Doctor impersonate?
Zephon. His last name was not Beeblebrox.
Mm. Shut up. All right, Mary.
Yes?
What only needs the core to be fitted?
Oh, the time destructor.
Kirby.
Master.
What is the core made of?
Terranium. A full M of terranium.
Don't be over the top with your pedantry. Mary.
Yes.
Well, anytime they mentioned it, it was always the full M.
All right, whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
Mary, what did the Daleks plan to take over after Earth?
Ooh. Gosh, the whole solar system.
Got there in the end, didn't we?
Yes.
Right. Kirby.
Master.
What planet can Terranium be found? Or on what planet can Terranium be found?
Pluto?
Oh, I know.
Oh, Mary.
Oh.
Uranus?
Correct.
That's what she said.
Shut up. Right,
that's
Mary.
The pronunciation, by the way.
Is it now? Mary, Mavic Chen stated that how many years may have been wasted mining for Terranium?
Oh, I remember him saying.
Ooh.
I don't remember.
I remember him saying him. I don't remember. I don't remember saying that. Right then, Kirby.
We're talking about it, but I don't remember exactly what he said.
Go on then, Kirby.
50 years.
See how smug he sounds when he gets the answer right.
I know.
Right. Kirby.
Master.
My thing's gone funny. Right. What was Zephon executed for? What was his crime?
Talking back.
Right, Mary?
I don't know either.
His crime was gross negligence. Right, Mary.
Yes?
What did the doctor say they do if they do nothing? Sorry, what did the doctor say they do if they do nothing?
You won't get that this. Was my quote.
Oh, go on then.
And by doing nothing, we do everything.
That's a bit of luck then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I make myself clear. Mm. It was one of my quotes too, so.
Was it? Okay. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Kirkson, Bors, and Garge, or Garg, were prisoners on what planet? You won't get this one.
Desperus, yes.
So what is the answer? I'm not having you read out loads of versions of the thing. You come up with one, and that's...
Desperus.
Because you won't take an approximation, so he's trying everything.
Desperus. Now I've gone and opened up iTunes again. That's your fault.
Yes, it was correct.
Desperus was the Desperos, to be more accurate, was the correct answer. While iTunes opens up and played some random tune. Let's see what it plays this time, shall we? Probably the same one as last time. As my spinning disc of doom. Oh, it's playing the... Yeah, we know it's a correct answer. Oh, what's it playing now? It's playing the same thing as last time.
A Charing Cross.
It's a second control signal
announces the arrival of a second Yeti.
Yes.
The creatures aim gun-like weapons at the pilot.
Shut up. Right. Next question goes to Mary.
Me.
Right. What is Brett's ship called?
Brett's ship.
Brett's ship?
Yeah, what's the name
Brett's
of...
Are you sure?
Or
it's
the
Brett's
ship?
Sure.
Well,
because
like the
they,
ship...
They took,
shut up.
They
the,
took
be quiet.
Chin's ship.
Yeah, don't you mean Chin's ship? Because I don't think Brett was ever...
What was it called? Stop being awkward. What was it called?
Spar.
Shouldn't give you that one for being too...
That's Chin's ship, not
Shut up. Change that in a second. Chin's ship. Yeah, hang on, I'll change that just because I need to use this one in a quiz book at some point. Did you know I've written several quiz books, including a Doctor Who one? Doctor Who one's called
and
The
by
Ultimate.
By the way, people really enjoyed the... I probably mentioned this last time.
No, you didn't.
People really enjoyed the trivia contest.
What, the ones I didn't write, you mean?
The ones... well, it was a mixture of ones that you wrote and ones that I wrote. We didn't use the silly ones, obviously. But people... It was one of the most popular things at the convention.
Yes, but I didn't write it, obviously. So I can't take any credit for it.
Answer classic questions?
No, I didn't do a lot of classic questions.
Yeah, okay, I figured as much.
Anyway, moving on. Where were we?
You wrote most of the questions
that
I used.
Did I really?
Remember, the original questions I used at ConGT were from your book.
No, I did not. Okay, I'll let you off then. Right then, so who was the last question?
I don't know.
I've lost where I was with it now. Oh, yeah, this bar, wasn't it? So
that's
got,
me, yeah.
Right, so it's Kirby's question.
Master.
What was Katerina checking when she got attacked? What was she checking when she got attacked?
I don't know.
Oh, I know.
Apparently Mary knows.
She was checking the doors.
Yeah, well, that's more or less the correct answer. In fact, it was spot on. Well, just checking to see if the door was secure, but I think that's near enough.
Yeah, because the doctor said it would be dangerous if the doors were open.
So, Mary.
Yes.
Who attacked Katerina, leaving to... her sort of self-sacrifice.
That would be Kirkson.
That would be the correct answer. Right.
I know who's winning this week.
Kirby.
No, not me.
Where did Kirkson demand to be taken?
Kimball.
Oop. Correct. Mary.
Yes?
What do Stephen... I should say did... Hang on, I think. What did Stephen call Kirkson while he fought with Katerina?
An animal?
Oh, I was expecting to get that one right. Sorry. I had it paused over the wrong button. That's an incredibly good answer.
That was a guess because I didn't have it written down, but I just remember him yelling at him.
Well done. Now I've got to change that question because it reads incorrectly. Right, then. Kirby.
Master.
What did the doctor hope for Katerina? obviously after she'd been done.
She finds her perfection.
Is, that was a nice line, wasn't it? But it's correct as well. Mary.
You didn't expect us to do this well, I can tell.
Mary.
We're kind of surprising him. Yes, sir.
How would the Doctor always remember Katerina?
Oh, as one of the daughters of the gods.
Correct.
You like Katerina. We have a lot of questions about her.
Correct. Yes, indeed. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Who did the Daleks think was hungry for power?
Mavic Chin.
And the thing's gone off. Hang on. Oh, this is really annoying me. Bloody equipment in this place. Oh, God. I can't find the button there.
Ding.
There it is. No, ding. It's my audio playing, dude. And what if I was playing some music? That would be very annoying if it would happen to turn itself off every 5 minutes. Right, where were we? Oh, we were doing
it's
this.
It's probably Apple.
It's nothing to do with Apple. It's made by Philips.
Oh, okay.
Stop flapping your ears.
Sorry.
Right. Where do we get up to? It's Kirby's ghost. And this that must therefore mine. Be my hiccup. Oh, yeah, sorry, Mavic Chin, wasn't it? Right, so, Mary.
Yes.
What year did Brett Vian join the Space Security Service? Was it? Oh, you know the answer before I give you the options.
I do. Is it, it's 3990?
I'm going to give you an extra point for that because I didn't even have to read out the options.
Yay!
Okay, Kirby.
Master.
How many people were there in the solar system? Do you want me to read out the options, or are you going to give me the answer? How many people were there in the solar system?
I don't give me an options if I
got it. The options are 40 million, 40 billion, 30 million, 30 billion.
I would. It's neither. I'm going to do this by elimination. It's not the millions, and I'm going to go with lots and lots, so it would be 40 billion.
All right.
Here's the correct answer. Right, Mary.
And I didn't necessarily know that one. It just made sense.
Mary, where yes. was Brett Vian born?
Oh, scanning her notes. Scanning her notes. don't know. Don't know.
Kirby?
I do not know.
Oh, it's playing iTunes again. Oh, for goodness sake.
Where was he?
Getting this door open.
Oh, it's something from...
It won't. She's done something.
A little snippet from a Big Finish story of some mystery thingy.
Tell us.
I don't know. I just closed it down. Yeah, it was. The answer was Mars.
Oh, okay.
Right, Kirby.
Is it mine? Really?
Well,
okay,
know.
Yes, it is mine. Okay,
What did Mavic Chin want called back to Earth?
What? Huh?
What did Mavic Chin want called back to Earth? I want called back to Earth.
Oh, all the agents.
Got there in the end, didn't we? Right. I've lost track of this now. I'm running out of space to write the thingies, the scores down. Yes, it was.
Andy's online. Oh, let's bring him
in. Now, for God's sake. Oh, we're in the middle of the
bloody quiz. Let's see if he can catch up.
How can he catch up? Hang on, I'll see how many rounds we're in. What's his name? It always comes in inopportune, lemon moments.
The quiz.
Right, I've got to work out how many
quiz,
questions you've done. Whose last question was that?
That was Kirby's.
No. Okay, then let's see what he might be able to work something out.
You know, you could double points for ones that he gets.
No, I won't. I'll just give him the points of the ones he gets.
He'll get them.
I won't. I'm not going to ask him the same questions. I'll ask him some new ones. Because therefore that enables you to pick up points as well. Is he actually there? I can see his picture up on there.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello, Alex.
Hi, folks. How you doing? Right. I've got severe problems. My headset has broken.
Hey.
I'm trying to clamp the broken earpiece against my ear and it keeps falling off. So there you go. Yes.
Marvellous.
Well, go out tomorrow and buy yourself a new one.
I'll have to buy a new one. But I've got a couple of days off. I'm having Thursday, Friday off to paint the nursery. So I'm taking time off to do that.
Right.
So
Andy, typical of you to join at an inopportune moment, right in the middle of the quiz. However, all is not lost for you, especially if I can actually write down a...
Are you going to give us a score so far?
No.
Oh.
Right, Andy.
Well, I can give Kerr the score. The score was 326 for 5. With Kumar Sangakkara
Wait,
and
did you
Steve...
say 326?
326 for 5.
Isn't that a little lopsided?
Why?
Can we get on with the quiz, please?
Can I tell him one more thing?
Go on, man.
I provided a quote for him at the beginning, since he wasn't here.
He doesn't sound very interested.
Go on, no, please. Go on, Kirby. Hit me.
Well, now I've got to find it. I read it out for you, but here, let's find it.
And he listens to the show. He would have listened to it.
There's a police telephone box on the pitch.
Oh, yes, there is, yes.
Yes, there.
Right then, there is... Andy.
Hello.
You've missed 14 questions.
Right.
Therefore, the next 14 questions are yours.
Oh, bloody
But bear in mind, if you miss out on any of them, the points will be open to the other players, therefore evening out the game. Isn't that good?
Well, so basically what you're telling me is I've got absolutely no chance whatsoever.
Excuses for not doing very well in this particular competition are Kirby's job, not yours. So we will begin with your first question, which is this. Who was the only man who Brett thought would believe his story?
Mavic Shen.
Oh, anybody? No.
Go on in, Mary.
Dexter.
It's correct. Right. This is your next question. What process did Stephen, Sarah and the Doctor undergo?
Right, okay.
I forgot to play that for you, by the way, earlier on. So carry on.
No, you did actually play it. I heard it.
Do I play this? Okay. Go on. So, what process did Stephen, Sarah, and the Doctor undergo?
I know.
Gordon Bennett. No, don't know that one.
Apparently, Kirby knows.
Cellular dissemination.
Sounds painful, doesn't it?
Yes. Sounds like what they said. That's a transporter.
I thought it was molecular dissemination.
Ooh, I thought you said you didn't know the answer, Mary.
Well, you know,
what was it?
Like a lot of
wrong?
No, it was molecular. It was molecular dissemination. So we both got it wrong.
No, I'm fairly certain it's cellular.
Okay, get a point deducted for...
I wrote it down when they said it.
It was
molecular dissemination.
Right, so that's a point deducted for Kirby for trying to make me out to be wrong when I'm right.
Wait, is it molecular or cellular?
It's molecular, Kirby, so you get one of these for being overly pedantic.
So, and what if I post the part of the video?
You get another point
where
deducted.
But you still lose the quiz.
Right. Andy.
Hello.
Right. What planet were Sarah, the Doctor, and Stephen transmitted to?
I know that one.
Of course you do.
Was he still there?
I'm still there. I'm thinking. I'm trying to...
look down the script. Yes, we know. But
you're looking down at your script, right?
They start off on Kemble, so... Oh, God. I watched this and I just found it so difficult to watch.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to get it. No.
Right then, go in, Mary.
Ira.
Is the correct answer.
And in Kirby's defense, I wrote it down when they said it as molecular dissemination. Mm. And I see that I wrote down later in another thing that they said cellular dissemination. So I think they were changing the name of it as they went along.
Well, the first time they mentioned it was molecular, and I'm sticking about the one and with that one, and I've got terrible wind. Pardon me.
Oh, right.
Well, thank you for that, sir, Adam. That's a really
better
really
outfit.
It was, yes. Kirby. I mean, Andy, sorry.
No. I'm really going to do badly. I'm going to get nothing here, but
Andy.
Yeah, keep going. Hello.
It's all right. It's fun to hear you lose for once.
Andy.
I'm here.
What were the invisible creatures called?
Ah,
Flick, flick, flick.
There were savage... Visions! Visions!
Fanny found the words in amongst his notes is the correct answer.
Yeah, I was looking through my notes and trying to find it.
Yes, right.
Uh-huh. They are savage invisible creatures.
Yes, right. Andy.
Oh, me again? My goodness.
It's you on every question now for 14 questions. What was the Doctor's final announcement in episode 5?
Oh, God, hang on. That was episode 5. Oh, no, episode 7 was the feat of Stephen, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know.
Flipping heck.
Wasn't flipping heck, no.
No, episode 5 was the traitors. So I've got that written down.
That's not what the question is.
You should know by now. So get 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, meh.
No,
eventually we get to the no, I don't know. Right. Kirby, you said you knew.
The Daleks have won.
Here's the correct answer. So he gets the point he got deducted back again. Right, Andy.
Yeah, okay, still going me. Yeah, okay, right.
How did the Doctor, Stephen and Sarah avoid getting exterminated by the Daleks on Myra?
Are they avoiding? Oh, God, flipping heck.
Oh, I think I know.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Mary said it first, but come on, Andy. What?
What was that?
Well, they escaped in the spaceship, and they ran away. And it's oh god, no! Go on then.
Doesn't Stephen put mud on the Daleks' eye stalk?
No, you've made me open up iTunes again. For God's sake! There we go. No, the answer. Well, go on in, Kirby. You can give me the answer, but you won't get any points.
Well,
for it.
I believe it's just because they got attacked by the Visions and they were able to
that
run away.
That would have been the points. Yes, they got attacked by the Visions.
Okay. Oh,
right.
Okay.
Oh, so Andy.
I've got that, but I also had Stephen muds up that eye stock.
According to the Daleks, what did Mavic Chen make his incompetence sound like?
Well, oh, that was one of my quotes.
Let Andy answer the question incorrectly. Okay. I mean,
my earpiece just falling off.
Because you're flicking through the notes too fast. Yes?
No, I'm trying to. Well, he was basically making excuses as to why he couldn't do it.
Yes, so the Daleks.
It was the incompetence of the other people. He wasn't his own incompetence. Okay.
Go on in, Kirby.
He makes his incompetence sound like an achievement.
That's the correct answer.
That was in my quote list.
Yes.
Which you know, which I'll post after we're done.
No, that's irrelevant. Right then. Andy.
All right, still go blimey.
What human characteristic did Mavic Chen claim he had no control over?
Be careful
with that script.
No, it's just my headphone set has just completely fallen off. So, my right earpiece is broken completely, so I'm trying to keep it strapped in, and it ain't working.
Stalling. He's stalling, everyone.
So, can you repeat the question? Because I only got half the question. Can you say it again, please?
Yeah. What human characteristic did Mavic Chen claim he had no control over?
Which is emotions.
Anybody?
It's just emotion, I'm sure. Wasn't.
The answer was curiosity.
Oh. We didn't get one for a change.
Andy.
Oh, flipping it.
Where did the Doctor demand he would hand over the Terranium to the Daleks?
He was on Kemble still.
Yes.
So he was not going to leave Kemble.
Yes.
Without handing it over.
But that was an easy one. They made a big deal about
it. Go on in, Kirby. What was the answer?
Outside the TARDIS.
Yes, the correct answer.
Yeah. Oh. Right. Hang on. They were still on Kemble, though, weren't they?
They were on Kemble.
So that's the answer.
No, it isn't.
In a general way, yes.
Yeah.
Right. Where are you going to hand over the TARDIS? Oh, somewhere in the galaxy. Well, that's the answer.
I tried a general answer earlier and I got chastised for it by simply saying key instead of key to the TARDIS.
Yes, because it could be the key to anything.
It was on Kemble. The place they were was on Kemble.
Yeah. Or you could say, where do we live? I live on the Isle of Wight. Or I live on Earth. That's the answer. I live on Earth. Not good enough. Right, Andy.
Oh.
What did one of the policemen say to the doctor when they arrested him? No, it wasn't that.
Hang on, I've got to think it was Ian Brian Blessed who said it to him, wasn't it? Oh,
no.
God.
No.
What did he say?
It should have been Brian Blessed, but it wasn't.
I already made the point that they should have been
I'll
using
go with Blessed. It was Merry Christmas, because I don't know, because I really struggle with this.
Right, who knows the answer then?
I don't.
But doesn't he challenge him for having the TARDIS in a public location? Something like that?
He does, but that's not the answer. The answer is, all right, lad, it's a fair cop.
Oh, that's right.
My gosh, yes.
All right, Andy.
Oh, Gil Blonde, I'm not enjoying this at all.
You've only got five more left. What type of citizen did the doctor tell the police he was?
Can you say that? I didn't catch a word of that.
Stop talking over me then. What type of citizen did the doctor tell the police he was?
I am a citizen of the universe and a gentleman to boot.
The sound device has gone off. Hang on.
This is really annoying me. I'm having
problems tonight because I reckon someone's sabotaged my sound.
I hope you press record when we start.
I have recorded it. Well, that's for Andy's benefit.
Yeah!
Right then, Andy.
That's metal ghoul flipping egg. Okay, let's keep going. All right then.
What police division did Stephen pretend to come from?
D.
Sorry about the ear flap at the in the middle of the wrong sound.
Sorry.
Anybody with the right answer?
G.
Yeah, but have you got the right answer?
G.
Right then, Andy. What?
You're regretting coming on, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm suffering.
Andy.
Here, mate, so. Hello.
What Doctor Who story was loosely referenced on one of the silent film captions?
Ooh. I don't remember. I remember
yeah, some. I don't remember.
Therefore, either. You won't get this one.
Wow. Surprise us.
Wait, he still might figure it out.
The only one I can think of is possibly Genesis for some reason. I don't know why, but I've got a feeling it's Genesis.
You got a feeling incorrectly. Anybody?
No.
No.
It was The Chase.
Oh.
Okay. Can you explain that, Adam?
Because one of the captions, it says, "The chase continues," or something along those lines.
Oh,
right.
Flipping heck. That's now, God, that is so
master,
tenuous.
Master, do we know that the reconstruction silent movie slides are
irrelevant.
What actually were on there?
No, we don't, and it's irrelevant. Right then. Andy.
Hello, yes, me again, just for change. Go on then.
What silent film star made a fake cameo appearance?
You've got to get that one. I know it. Stop breathing into your microphone.
Sorry, I'm...
Good grief.
Gordon Bennett, it was...
Did you even watch The Feast of Stephen?
I did, but I really didn't... I found it really, really hard.
That's what she said.
No, I just found it so hard because I was watching it. I saw the three episodes and I watched the recons and I found the recons so blooming hard. It was untrue. I really struggled to watch this. I mean, it's
sort of stalling it. Kirby, apparently you know.
Charlie Chaplin.
Here's the correct answer. Andy.
I can answer the next one, too.
Oh, of course he was, because he was the name. It was the
Andy.
Name. Wasn't, oh, you Muppet.
Andy.
That's me, the Muppet, yeah,
in,
not you, Muppet.
The clue is in the question, really. How many runs, how many runs in 45 minutes did England need to win? It's the perfect question for Andy. Which is going to be very funny when he gets it wrong.
I'm not going to get it. You're right, I'm not going to get it. It's 73. 73.
All right, Kirby?
I have no idea.
Yeah, and I don't know.
It's just, I expected Andy to memorize all of the lines from the commentators.
Oh, memorize them? The answer was wrong. The answer was 78.
Oh,
so close.
Yes, indeed. Right then. Oh, for goodness sake. Who's that?
Oh, that's my phone.
Great timing. It was your question.
Oh, it's her question time.
Yes. Yes. And he's used up his 14 questions. I'll just wait for Mary. And hang on.
And he got one of them, right? Or maybe two.
No, I got one.
Yeah. And that my thing's going to run out, isn't it?
Your thing?
You know, my the speaker's going to go funny in a minute. Oh, dear. How am I supposed to do this filling out? Are you back now?
I'm back.
Oh, good.
Front and sides too?
Unfortunately. Right.
Therefore, Mary's question.
Oh, questions are back at us, huh?
Yes. What did the Daleks threaten Mavic Chen with if he failed again to regain the Tyranium core? You might not get this one. That's a new title of the quiz.
Ooh. Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
No, dear. Anybody?
Nope, not me.
Anybody? No. Annihilation was the answer. Kirby.
That extermination?
Kirby.
Master.
Where did the Doctor and the Monk get reunited? Where were they? Not necessarily the planet, but they were somewhere.
You gave him the easy one.
That's what she... Oh, sorry, that doesn't work, that one, does it? Yeah, go on.
Like I said, this middle episodes, I'm not necessarily certain, so I don't know.
Go on then, Mary.
At a pharaoh's tomb in Egypt.
No. Oh, don't, no. You made me... Oh, bloody hell. Shut up. That was your fault. It was wrong. I was suspecting she was so sure to get it right. It was wrong. No. Mary, listen to this. Very clearly, and it's very irritating because there's a fly crawling on my computer at the moment. No, it was a volcano. That's where the Doctor and the Monk.
Isn't that the
reunited.
Title of that episode, too?
I don't know. It was wrong. Right then. Right. Apparently, whose question was that? I've lost where I was now. Was that your question,
that's
Kirby?
That's Kirby's. Right.
Yes.
Andy.
Oh, that was the title of that episode, yes.
Andy, how did the Doctor get past the Monk's attempt to maroon him?
Oh, I know that.
Good. So, what do you reckon, Andy?
Oh, God. Well, he's trying to maroon him in Tiger.
You don't have to talk about the story. Just give me the answer. Talk about the story in a minute.
He reset the lock mechanism.
Yeah, but how?
His ring.
Oh, my God, we get there in the end. Right. Mary.
Yes?
Yeah, basically the answer there for listeners was he used his ring to deflect the sun's rays. Because it was an alien sun, wasn't it? Right, Mary, what type of hat did the Doctor wear in Egypt?
Ooh, a straw hat.
That'll do for me. The Panama hat, to be more precise, but he would have got an extra point for that. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Who did the Egyptians think the TARDIS belonged to?
The Pharaoh.
Is the correct answer.
That was a guess.
Well, it's fair, but it's a really easy guess, though.
You wouldn't have got it right, Andy. This is your question, anyway. What was the first thing the Doctor changed the Monk's TARDIS into?
I know.
Was it a motorcycle?
Whoa! Is the correct answer. And Mary's so disappointed because she knew that one. Or allegedly. Kirby.
The ones I know.
Oh, actually, no, this is Mary's question.
Mary's,
very pardon.
Yeah.
Where did the Doctor set his rendezvous with the Daleks? And he won't necessarily get this one because it's quite...
True.
Yeah, where did he set it? I don't want the answer from the bird.
Bird. There's
there was a bird going tweet, 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 tweet. Everybody heard the bird, didn't they? No, be quiet.
No.
Right.
The bird is the word.
Yeah. So where?
Nobody knows.
Oh, you don't know?
No, I don't know.
Okay, anybody?
I think, was it outside the pyramid?
I'll give you a generous point for that. It wasn't exactly the answer, but it was worth a point. The answer was west angle of the Great Pyramid.
Oh, okay.
Yes, right. Kirby.
Master.
What did the Doctor take from the monk's TARDIS?
Ah, I know.
Good, you know. Go ahead.
No, hang on. Go on in, Mary.
The directional unit.
Is the correct answer. Andy.
Yeah.
Who did Mavic Chen murder in the Galactic Council? I don't think he's going to get this one, but there. I don't think anybody will, for that matter.
No, no, I'm not going to get it.
Right. Anybody?
No.
It was Giron.
Oh, hey, you didn't give me.
Hey.
What? You said no. I said.
No, I did. No, she said, because I was looking
on,
over
I
all
said,
the names to
I
see
said,
which one it was.
Anybody know? Sorry. And all I heard was, no. You should be more clear with your answers. The answer was Giron, if you knew it. That's
yes.
Tough, really.
Give her a point. Give her a point.
No,
she
I'm sorry.
With
the
helmet
no.
over his face,
no.
Yeah.
No. Now I've lost where I was. Whose go is this? Kirby's?
Whose question was that?
I've lost where I was.
It was mine.
That was your
so
question.
It's Mary's.
So it was Mary's question. Mary. Not many left now. There's only four left. And there's a big killer question at the end.
Oh dear.
One of the surface of Kemble. Oh, sorry, what's that saying? On the surface of Kemble, what did Stephen tell Sarah to be careful of?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Mary.
I guess she'll have to give it to Kirby.
No, go on then, Kirby.
We saw them back in the mission
right.
to the unknown.
Just answer the question.
Varga plants.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, the Varga plants, right.
Yes, right. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What bearing was the Dalek city on according to the compass? Flicking of notes.
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, I know.
Oh, Mary knows.
Oh.
242.
Is the correct answer. Let's see. Very competitive, this, you know. Right. Oh, hang on. Whose question was the last one? That was Kirby. So, therefore, this is Andy's question.
Right.
Yes.
What was the statistic? That's what Andy sounds like to the Americans.
The answer was Kirby. The answer was Okay. That's correct answer.
The answer is always 42.
What was the distinctive? Sorry. What was distinctive about the voice of the Supreme Dalek, or the Dalek Supreme, as he was in this? What was distinctive about it?
Ooh.
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 Yes.
I've actually no idea. I really have not got a clue.
Yeah, I don't know.
At least you're honest for once. I'll give you a point. I'm going to give you a point for honesty, because eventually we got a straight, quick, I don't know, rather than, I just flicked from my notes.
No
it
idea.
Is, of course, the guy that was in the Feast of Stephen, is it?
Hang on. I've got to give this to Andy, even though he got a point for honesty. I've got to give you this, you, Mary, but you should deserve a point for trying to guess, but you don't get any. Anybody?
No.
The answer was he had a high-pitched voice.
He had a high-pitched voice.
Jeez. He was a Dalek Supreme.
Heck.
Oh, right.
He was the only of the Daleks that had a high-pitched voice.
You're digging for questions when you ask that.
Right. Now, the killer question. Yeah. This is double or nothing for
God.
All of you. Right. This is it. Who did Stephen lament at the end of the story?
I think I know.
Go on, Em.
Okay, I think it was Sarah.
Well, and Katerina. Ooh, and Brett.
Right, I'm going to give points to Mary for that one, because she actually said Brett and Katerina, which is who he actually lamented. So, well
so
done.
So she wins.
Yes, and Andy's goes down from 10 points to nothing. Right, so that's good. Right, so the final scores. This is going to take some time to work out.
No, it won't. I've got nothing.
No, that part of it won't. But
he's easy.
That's what she said.
I knew it.
All right. So the final scores are, in last place with no points, it's Andy. In second place with 31 points, it's Kirby. But the winner this week with a double or nothing, 56 points.
Whew.
So she would have lost if she hadn't got it that last one, right? It was Mary.
Yay.
So I have to ask you, Andy, how plastered were you during Concus Debris?
I was fairly calide.
And I will concede that yes, you did ask some good questions, even though it was a few times over again.
That's actually seriously, Alan, disappointing things. I thought, well, I listened back. I thought I did ask some good questions.
Again,
sure was. I was so plastered that I couldn't make sense while I asked them, which is really. Yeah, I mean, it's so annoying for me, isn't it?
We did miss out on a little bit of potential comedy then, because if Paul McGann had turned up the last 5 minutes of that, that would...
It's always an adventure to do anything.
I'll be honest, I felt bloody awful the next morning.
That's very amusing. All right, so I'm just going to see what we can do, because we haven't done it. Oh, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to welcome new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. The way Mary goes, ooh. It's not that spooky, honestly. Right. So, who we got? Who did I do last time? I'm thinking the last name that rings a bell was...
Where's Ian when you need him?
No.
He usually tells us.
Right. I reckon it was Kristin Purvis Boatwell was the last one I welcomed. So we got Frieda.
Is that Boatwell?
I've got Frieda Griffin. Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. And she was added by Ames London about 2 weeks ago. Whether she listened to the show or not, we'll find out, hopefully, because she might write in some feedback. You never know. We've got Kerry Dobble. Oh, no, that's an I. We have Kerry Dobby. She was added by me and her. Her profile picture is her in a TARDIS. I presume it's her, at least, because it's a very small picture. We have, by the way, welcome, Kerry. We have Chris Rachel Oseland, and she was added by me a couple of weeks ago. Then we have Lindsay Hollis, who has a very cool TARDIS purse and works with me at a certain retailer.
Oh, her, yes.
And she's a big Doctor Who fan. I don't think she listens to the show, though. We have Stephen Calhoun, added last Monday. I presume they might have been at Concus Debris, along with Beverly Terry Allen. Although it says East Limestone High School. Well, that could be in America. Added by me on Friday. And most recent of all, and he actually also joined the Isle of Wight Doctor Who fans group, even though they're not on the Isle of Wight, but you aren't, Kirby, and you're in it, is Ashley Hall. So welcome, all 15 of you. That wasn't that many, but only.
Yeah, I was surprised when I discovered that I was in the Isle of Wight Doctor Who group.
Well, I can remove you quite quickly, so don't worry about it. So now we have, for the time being, 436 members.
Yay!
Three of which listen to the show. So, yes, welcome one and all to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which segues us rather badly into Doctor Who news. Well, it doesn't segue us at all. I just sort of... I thought I'd use that phrase for reasons that it takes that long for me actually to type in Doctor Who News in the search engine.
So. you still use a search engine for that? You don't have a bookmark?
Right. Oh, that's a good point. Maybe I should. By the way, I'd like to point out, and it's not Doctor Who connected, but we had some news today of a broadcasting and performing legend in Britain.
Passed away. Cilla.
And I think it's worth a mention because I think she was great. Cilla Black. Died, or was not today necessarily, but it was announced today that she passed away at the age of 72. So I haven't mentioned it on my timeline because everybody else was typing in RIP Cilla. So I thought I'd leave it to the podcast for me to say how sad I feel on the passing of what I think was probably a genuinely nice woman who was a pretty good all-rounder, I think. And I really enjoyed... and there was a slight Doctor Who connection, wasn't there? Because Sheridan Smith, who has connections with Big Finish, played Cilla Black in a dramatisation of her life last year. So, very sad news for us, wasn't it, Andy?
It was indeed, yeah, and that was very sad. 72, that's no age to go.
No, it isn't. That's a very good point. My mum's 75 or 6 or something like that, and she's quite sprightly. So, yeah, very sad news. Very shocking. I remember I was on a break at work and suddenly the news thing on my phone went bloop and looked down at it. I went, Cilla Black's died. It was one of those sort of things that, you know, wow, you don't expect that. But there you go. Moving on to Doctor Who news to hopefully brighten things up a little bit. The co-founder of the show's favourite person defends the BBC. Doctor Who showrunner otherwise known as the co-founder of the show's favourite person, is one of a number of Hollywood stars. Hey, he's not a Hollywood star, he's a Hollywood blooming writer, isn't he? I'd put him down as a Hollywood star. Anyway. Oh, yes, it does say, is a number of a Hollywood... Oh, that's really confused me. How is Stephen Moffat a Hollywood star, everyone?
No.
Well, that's what it says here. Anyway, they've wrote to the Prime Minister to defend the BBC. Apparently the corporation is being subject of a review of its scope and purpose in the period leading up to its charter renewal in 2016.
So does this mean that we're going to lose Doctor Who forever?
I would imagine if the BBC had to change or got closed down or whatever they want to do with it, the franchise of Doctor Who would go somewhere.
Yeah, it's too big of a moneymaker to just die.
Yeah. And somebody, hopefully the BBC, will continue to make quite a lot of money out of it. Olaf Pooley passed away in the last couple of weeks. He was very old and he died, but he played the monster in the Inferno. Do you remember that?
Oh, and he was the... I remember in that Voyager episode he was in.
Voyager? Oh, Voyager. Was he in that?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
The episode Blink of an Eye.
Oh, right. Okay, I love Voyager. I had every single episode of Voyager on VHS. Just before DVD came out, and I got rid of them. But yeah, so that's a passing of a Doctor Who legend. Hang on, my browser's gone a bit doolally. Apparently, Yanto Jones wants to return to something or other as well. Sorry, the actor that plays Yanto Jones. Sorry,
yeah,
I beg your pardon. Gareth David Lloyd wants to return
that's
as
Big Finish.
Yanto
He's going to already
Jones.
Be.
Yeah,
you're talking over me. I'm trying to explain this to Big Finish. Yes, you can talk now.
He's already said he wants to come back, so we've finished. He's told us that a couple of weeks ago.
I know. Yeah. I haven't done news for a couple of weeks, Andy.
That's the second story in a Torchwood series they're doing. The first one is being done by John Barrowman.
Yes.
And then he's doing the second one.
Apparently there was a Meet of the Cast event in Berlin with Peter Capaldi and Jenna Kallman. I don't know if she's still in Doctor Who. That's a bit of a mystery. That's one of the mysteries of the new series. Is she leaving it at some point during that series? I think she probably is. She hasn't been listed as one of the guests at the Doctor Who Festival.
So. Well, she probably will. At some point in time, she will leave the series, you know, let's
obviously,
be honest.
Obviously, but I'm wondering whether she leaves during the series we're about to watch in September, October,
I don't think
and
so.
November. Okay. Some German news roundup. I don't think I'll bother with that one, because obviously... there's been some Doctor Who publicity going on in Germany. Doctor Who magazine 489 listeners can be purchased, even if you live in America, at whoone.co.uk.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
You can get it quicker from them, and Nick has confirmed this. If you order it from whoone.co.uk, you will get it quicker than waiting for it to arrive in America at your local news suppliers. So buy it from whoone.co.uk if you want it quicker.
You mean whoone.co.uk?
Yes, and Colin Baker as the Doctor is on the front cover. The Magician's Apprentice, the 27th of August 2015, 8:30 p.m. Starring, so it's not coming back in September like they said, starring Peter Capaldi, Jenna Coleman, Michelle Gomez, and
well,
it's going to be directed
screening.
By Peter McDonald.
That's a screening. You've got to go up to Scotland.
No. Yeah, it's sold out as well, that is.
Oh, yeah. I stand corrected, or even sit corrected, but yes. So some lucky people will get to see it ahead of its broadcast date. Sorry, I got that one wrong. That's unusual for me. It has to happen sometimes, especially at this time of night. And I haven't had a can of lager.
It's only 5 in the afternoon.
My browser's gone doolady again. Hang on, just one. Oh, yeah. Mark Gatiss joins Sydney Festival lineup. He has joined a team appearing in an Australian version of the Doctor Who Festival. So there you go. I'd like him to come to the British version, personally. Because I don't think I didn't see him at the Doctor Who celebration. So. Robin Phillips has passed away.
Oh, him.
And he was only 73, and he was in The Keys of Marinus playing Altos in a very posh way. So, that's another sad
That means
loss.
He was only, like, 23 or something.
He was only a year old than Cilla Black. But yeah, he was very young when he played the part, yeah. But he looked young. You also look quite camp as well, funny enough. Right, hang on. My thing's jumped up again. 3D cinema event for the US, where apparently they're going to be able to watch... I didn't even know it was filmed in 3D, but they're going to be able to watch
Dark surprised
Water,
me too.
Death in Heaven. So the fact they have been filmed in 3D, it makes me a bit disappointed I haven't had a chance to see it in 3D. So
now...
I would go.
Mary, are you going to go?
Either of those episodes.
What? That's true. But I'm curious to see Doctor Who in 3D.
What did you say, Mary?
I said I would go, except I didn't care for either one of these episodes.
Right. I'd go.
I was going to say the same thing. I detest those two episodes.
I wouldn't say I detest them enough not to want to see them in 3D.
3D is not. Yeah, it's not enough of a lure.
Even though they're going to be showing a prequel scene to the new.
I can wait.
I can wait. It's going to leak it fast enough anyway.
And it's going to be expensive to go to, too.
I haven't even looked to see how much the tickets are. I see that you can go on to Fathom Events and fine. Yeah. No, I'm still not going to go. I can't stand those two episodes.
Me neither.
Peter Capaldi in conversation will be on Alpha Debbie's birthday on the 24th of November in the Civic in Auckland. So if we have any New Zealand listeners to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast,
spending a lot of time,
let us know by sending in something to us at 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. I haven't actually announced that email address in a long time, have I? That's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
Have had Mary say it.
Because we rely so much on the Facebook group and communications. Awful. I wonder how long it's been since I mentioned our email address, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. In fact, it was about 10 seconds. Right, Gallifrey may be found on Charon.
Yes, NASA, Debbie mentioned that, didn't she? Yeah,
NASA have released plans for naming of areas of Pluto's moon Charon based upon the International Astronomical Union's recommendations that these would relate to destinations and milestones of fictional space and other exploration. Fictional and mythological vessels of space and other exploration. Fictional and mythological... I can't say these long words. Mythological voyagers, travellers and explorers. So, do you reckon that's going to happen?
Well, why not?
I know. It's a good idea,
why not do this?
Oh, they'll only do American stuff, because NASA...
Why not?
NASA likes to believe itself to be an international organisation, but in fact it's basically American. So, that's essentially it, apart from we need to mention Navazi.co.uk, because they're
plus
one
we
of
need
our sponsors.
To decide when we're going to... do the next episode.
Hang on, let me talk about Lavazzi first. Yes, it's August. Yes, it's quite warm at the moment, but we've had the flying ants in Great Britain, which usually is the beginning of the end of summer. So, as summer is coming to end soon, when soon we'll be autumn, we'll be getting our scarves and coats out. If you need a new scarf, where do you think you should go? Of course, Lavazzi.co.uk, where you get a good variety of Fourth Doctor scarves, which I think is the biggest draw to Lavazzi. And I think every Doctor Who fan should have one, don't you, Kirby?
Yes, I have two.
You greedy... Well, I should have to do I could have another one, to be fair.
Lavazzi, though.
Everyone should have, for the winter, a Fourth Doctor scarf. I want a new one. Mine's about 3 years old. So, yes, Lavazzi.co.uk. We can also buy loads of other
30 years old.
Doctor Who cosplaying stuff. I've got an umbrella. Hopefully you can still get them from there. So, yes, next time we'll be recording, we'll be reviewing a story called The Massacre of St. Bartholomew's Eve. Sorry.
Now, that was just normally called The Massacre, isn't it?
Yeah, but the title of it is The Massacre of... That's why it's called The Massacre, because the full title is such a mouth tongue twisting doodah thing. The Massacre of St. Bartholomew's Eve. Yes, that's next time,
this
everybody.
This is an entirely missing story. Lovely.
Yeah. I've only listened to it once, and I can't remember much about it, apart from I think there's a bit where William Hartnell plays a different character that isn't the
Doctor.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Yeah.
A doppelganger. So it'll be quite interesting to see.
Fortunately, it's only a four episode one.
And also,
yes.
There is another thing. Jackie Lane plays a different character other than Dodo in it as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
Will be interesting to see. So that is next time. If we did it next week, which would be the beginning of Cows Week, which is not a major problem, although I do a very long day at work on Sundays, It would be the 9th of August, everybody. What do you reckon?
Good for me.
Yeah, I can do it.
Sunday?
Uh-huh.
Yes. What's wrong with Sundays? Oh, well, there we go. So there we go. 9th of August is our save the date for the massacre of St. Bartholomew's Eve and episode 273 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And we're getting close to episode 300, which makes me think I'll better start compiling the little medley of clips from the last 100 episodes soon and tag them on to the medley of clips I did for the previous 200 episodes.
Now, did you include... a while back. I'm trying to remember with when you did the 200... Did you include the scream when you had the cramp?
I can't remember. Listen to the episode. That's episode 201, listeners, of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, available at podbean.com. So there we go. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for coming on, Andy. It's always good fun to have you on.
Oh, thank you.
We never know what you're going to get, apart from not really understanding what you're going to say if you're an American.
How true.
And it's sad for me. I was really looking forward to having Debbie on the show again, but
yeah. What happened to Debbie? Why did she not turn up?
She heard something that you might be on tonight and decided to make some sort of excuse that her internet had gone down. Decided not to be on the show. So there we go.
Okay.
Yeah. Never mind. She probably would have done quite well in the quiz that Mary won. Again.
Yeah, she probably would have, but she would have had to haul a whole book out. Notes she takes, yeah.
So until next week, thank you for flapping your ears, Magic, for goodness sake.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the show. Goodbye.
Goodbye,
Fancy Pants.
Bye, everyone.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.